Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Good afternoon again. Yes. Today we're going to talk about the comfort of God for you and for all of us. Let's look to begin with at Isaiah chapter 40 together. You can open up your Bibles if you wish. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 2. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Today I want to talk with you about the comfort of God, how He comforts us, and what is involved in God bringing us comfort, and especially, I think to begin with, we need to establish something about this passage together. That this passage is ultimately speaking about our comfort that we have in Christ. How can we prove that, do you think? Look at Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she's received double from the Lord's hand, received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in a desert a highway for our God. And then verse 8, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you recognize this? A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Who does that speak of?
Jesus.
Well, almost. It's like Jesus. Almost. John, right? Because in John chapter 1, it says, and this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed, he did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. So they asked him, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? From Deuteronomy. He answered, no. They said to him then, who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John the Baptist replies, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, this passage, Isaiah 40, was prophesying about me going before the Lord to bring, who would bring comfort to you. So there, we get proven to us by God in His own Holy Scriptures that this passage, Isaiah 40, is a prophecy of Christ. Therefore, when we talk about comfort, and if you want comfort from God, there's only one place to find it, right? In Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Messiah, who brings our warfare to an end, who pardons our iniquities, and blesses us doubly after our sins, blesses us. So we're talking today then about Isaiah 40. How does God comfort us? You know something? It's a strange way in which God deals with us, isn't it? You ever feel totally comfortable with God? Do you feel comfortable with Him? Yes. Do you feel uncomfortable with Him? Yes. Typical Lutheran answer, right? That's the way we all experience it. In fact, the radio show last weekend was talking about the same kind of thing, about feeling comfort with God our Father. Now, let's talk about how God comforts us then in Christ, which He's going to do today, right now, miraculously, through me and in you by His Word and Holy Spirit. He's going to comfort you today. Let's see how God comforts us, though. You know, the first way God has on His steps to comforting you is what? It's to make you dreadfully uncomfortable. Isn't that strange? You know, you'd think that God, if He's going to come, is this going to be all sweet roses and kindness? Although that's His intention, that's His heart. On the way to that, He's got to make you terribly uncomfortable with Him first, in order to comfort you. And let's see, actually, you can see that in Isaiah 40 here, a voice cry says, cry to the one crying in the wilderness. What shall I cry? He answers, here, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Is that comforting to you? You are grass, Cheryl. You know, you are grass, Don. All people are grass. and you will wither when the breath of the Lord blows upon you. Is that comforting? That first thing sounds kind of uncomfortable to me, right? But it's true. It's a true word. And God, first of all, makes us terribly uncomfortable, reminding us, you are a mortal. You are not like me, who is from forever to forever. You are like grass. You're going to wither. You're going to fade. So we're also very small. At another place, just a few lines later, he says, verse 15, "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the isles like fine dust." The nations are like just even all the nations. I was thinking this morning, when I was in the bathroom, I looked and we have those little ants that are everywhere these days. It's like, man. But I saw these little things going around, and I just thought to myself, like this passage, that's like an entire nation right there to God. And I wasn't intending to harm it, but I put my foot over it just for a second thinking, God is like this. He is. I mean, that is like all of Assyria or all of Russia is that one little ant. God could just do this, and but for his kindness, he stays his foot and doesn't crush us, you know? But we are small. We're insignificant. Our sin leads to mortality and death. And another one is Isaiah chapter 5, which I didn't put on here. Hang on a second. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20 to 25. God says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eye, in their own eyes, and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, and valiant men in drink mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. For they have rejected, therefore as the tongue of fire devours stubble, and as the dry grass," there's that same thing again, right? "Sinks down in the flame, so their root will be as rottenness, their blossom will go up like dust, for they have rejected the law of hosts, have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people. He stretched out his hand against them and smote them, and the mountains quaked. Their corpses were like as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still." Is that a word of comfort? Comfort, comfort, ye my people. Is that comforting to you? Yeah. The Lord is a holy God, right? And he stretches out his hand to punish iniquity, and all flesh should tremble before him. And you would think that this is the most, that God's intention is only to crush and destroy you when He shines the light of his law upon you and makes you afraid. But guess what? These are all actually good things. Because he can't comfort someone who's comfortable in his sins with grace. He's got to first make you very uncomfortable with your sins in order for him to comfort you then with his forgiveness, which is his intention. But do you think this is just Old Testament stuff? How about Jesus? Remember Matthew chapter 5? Does this sound like comfort, comfort ye my people? How about this? You've heard that it was said, you shall not kill, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother is liable to judgment in hell. You've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, everyone who looks lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Is that comforting? No, that's not too comforting, is it? It's true. But the truth hurts. How about this? Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. That comfort, comfort ye, my people? No. What was he upset at here? Jesus, it says, he upbraided the towns and cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they didn't repent. In other words, what was happening? These people were comfortable, right? They were comfortable with their sin. They are comfortable in their pride. They are comfortable in their blasphemies. And so when they didn't repent at his works, he laid into them with a sledgehammer and got harder and worse. Why? Because he hated them? No. He's swinging his hammer to break their stiff-necked glass, if perchance they might be made uncomfortable. Because what's it say later in Matthew chapter 11? Right after he blasts these towns and makes them uncomfortable, he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." Just a couple verses later, right after he's the hottest fire of the law, he has the sweetest kindness of the gospel to us. So the first thing God's got to do for us is make us uncomfortable. Are you uncomfortable today when you think about God? His holiness? His law? Does he shine the light of the mirror of his holy commands in your eyes? And you go, "I've failed. I am so far short of his glory. God, how could you love me?" Right? And then there are two responses to this, right? One response, I mean, God's intention is to offend us. The one response is to be offended at Jesus. That's the wrong response. Jesus says, "Blessed is he who is not, takes no offense at me." The other response we can have is to be offended by his word at our sin and appalled at it. And that's what God's after. So when God wants to make you uncomfortable, don't be upset. This is a good thing. And when we have a world that doesn't want to harm anybody's feelings, doesn't want to offend anybody, "Oh, don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, that offends my whatever faith," or "Don't say anything Christian, that's going to offend my faith," what's that ultimately doing? It's trying to cut short God's work, which is to make people uncomfortable. Because, we love and worship a God, my friends, who makes waves. And he's got to make waves if he's going to make, say, "Be still and be calm." He's got to have the waves first. And if you're feeling the waves of God's judgment, his holiness, delight and rejoice, even while you're terrified, because that's leading you to "Comfort, comfort ye my people," as he says in Isaiah 40. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." So, the second thing God does, though, for us in comforting us is comforts us. Isn't that great? That's a real big, deep point. I don't know if you got that. But Isaiah 40, 1 goes on, then look at Isaiah 54, verses 4 and 5. God says, "Fear not, for you'll not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you'll not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you'll remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called." Can you let that speak to you today? You just realize God wants to be like your husband to his wife who's committed adultery on him, and he wants to call her back. Speak tenderly to her, it says, right? What's that word tenderly? In the Greek, in the Hebrew, it's lev, basically, which means kindly, friendly, comfortingly, tenderly. Can you see a husband speaking tenderly with his wayward wife, "Welcome your home," stroking her cheek, saying, "I forgive you, I receive you back"? This is what your God is saying to you today through these words. "Come back. I know that you have sinned, yet I have loved you with an everlasting love. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls." Are you carrying around shame today on account of your sins? Are you uncomfortable on account of those? Well, let God comfort you and say, "Look, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." He has laid upon his own back your shame. Think about that for a moment. He has laid your shame and sin upon his back so that you might not be ashamed or confounded. "For you'll forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you'll remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So comfort, comfort ye my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Now, one more thing. Are you comfortable now? God really has forgiven you. I want you to take that to heart. But then in our lives, going on as Christians, Do you know any Christian who's perfectly comfortable all the time around God? No. You know what he does? Because he loves us so much, now that we're in his home and his house, he allows us to go through certain afflictions, certain difficulties, certain trials that make us uncomfortable. Look, we were comfortable in our sins. Then he makes you uncomfortable about those. Then he comforts you through the forgiveness of your sins. And now to keep you in that grace, he makes it uncomfortable in the world. How about that? But listen to what he says here in 2 Corinthians 1. He says, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So, when we are uncomfortable by God, he is the God who comforts us. And then, you notice, though, it doesn't take away our affliction, does it? He still allows us to go through temptations, but he's faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond your ability to endure. But why? Why does he let you go through uncomfortable situations after he's comforted you, after making you uncomfortable? To remind you always in this world, because you live in a sinful world, never to forget that your comfort's in God. In your present day afflictions, whatever you're going through today, are you going to remember this word of our Lord? That he says, "I am your comfort." And he's going to use that affliction, that trial, that challenge, that bad circumstance in order to cause you to remember and know his grace and comfort all the more. So I pray God strengthen you then in this today. Comfort ye my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem that her warfare has ended. Her iniquities have been pardoned. And she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Rejoice in our comforting God. In Jesus' name, amen.